Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're starting a new sermon series today. I've never done a sermon series before. This will be a new thing for me, too. Bless you. Some of you know that we follow a thing called a lectionary in the church, or at least in this church. It's a series of readings that we use throughout the year, based on the church year, the church calendar, beginning with Advent, moving through Christmas and Epiphany, into Lent, Easter, Pentecost. And the specific series of readings that we are using right now, once you get to the day of Pentecost, that time afterwards, the idea for the summer is to do three series this year. One is a four-week series on the Ten Commandments. One is a four-week series on the Book of Ruth. And one is a four-week series on 1 John. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about the Ten Commandments. Truth be told, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the Ten Commandments. I don't. I tend to spend most of my time when I'm reading Scripture in the New Testament. I tend to spend most of my time, if you'll pardon the expression, hanging out with Jesus and just spending some, you know, time reading about those stories and thinking about that time, what I can find there that's meaningful. I have nothing against the Ten Commandments. That's not why. It's just not something that's been a part of my routine. The name Ten Commandments is kind of misleading, just to tell you that right off the bat. If you look at the actual word in Hebrew that describes it, it would probably be more accurate or more literal to translate it as the Ten Words or the Ten Sayings. The King James Version talks about commandments, and that's where we get that word from. It's not wrong. It's just a translator's decision. How about that? But rather than try and figure out what I should call them, I'm probably just going to call them the Ten today. Hanging out with the Ten, as it were. Do you know how many times the Ten Commandments show up in the Bible? Thank you, Bruce. Twice. We have the version that we're about to hear, not today, but over the next few weeks. The version that shows up in Exodus. We also have a version in Deuteronomy. They're almost the same. It's inconvenient that I had to say almost. But they're almost the same. They're basically the same. There's a couple of differences. The biggest one being why we rest on the Sabbath. Why do we rest on the Sabbath? Semi-rhetorical question. Anyone? So we can get our ass work done. There you go. As God told us to, right? During creation, six days of creation, and then rested on the seventh. Honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. Nod your head.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. That's what it says in Exodus, too, that that's why we are supposed to honor the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy, it tells us we honor the Sabbath because God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. So it's a little different there. It's not the end of the world, though. Okay, another pop quiz. Ten Commandments time. What is commandment number 7? What is commandment number 3? What is commandment number 6? Number 9, 4, 2, 1. Anyone? It's hard, isn't it? Make it even more complicated for you. There's at least 3 different ways to number them. So when I asked you which number, it would be fair to say, well, which numbering system, Pastor Chris? The way that the Jewish faith numbers them? The way that the Roman Catholics, the Orthodox Church, and the Lutherans, and a few others number them? Or the way that the Calvinists and a lot of other Protestants number them? Because it's a little bit different. So I'm not going to ask you about specific numbers while we're going through this series. Because it would be fair to say, well, whose version is right? In fact, we're not even going to start talking about the Ten Commandments, because if you notice, they didn't show up in the reading today. We're going to hop a little bit earlier. We're going to talk a little bit about right before the Ten Commandments were given, the Ten as they were. And God said, I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured people. The whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. Those are really nice words. Were those nice words? I thought those were very pretty words. But those aren't the ten. They don't even show up in the same chapter as the ten. That's from Exodus 19. One chapter earlier. 19 is important because it gives us the whole reason why Moses goes up that mountain. 19 is important because it sets the stage. It tells us the motivation for what's about to happen. It gives us the perspective of what's going on right before the ten are given. In 19, we talk about relationship. The relationship between the people of Israel and God. I bore you up on eagle's wings, God says. I brought you to myself. You shall be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. Think about those words for a second. What is God doing right there? He's claiming Israel. He's pronouncing it from on high, literally. He is saying, you are my people. We are connected. You and I. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You shall be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. You ever heard the expression, you need to learn how to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? You ever heard that? Anyone? We don't accept Jesus. We don't accept God. God accepts us. God initiates. God, throughout history, throughout the Old and New Testament, is calling out to the people, I love you. And yes, the people can respond. But we don't go out and find Jesus. He's never been missing. He's always been there. Like searching around, where are you, God? Where are you? And he taps us on the shoulder. We look back, please, God, I'm looking for you. Where are you? Where are you? Right here, look. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You shall be a priestly kingdom, a holy nation. God is already here. The relationship is already here. God's love is already here. I think one of the reasons I have not spent a lot of time in my career as a pastor going over the ten is because I think too often I have allowed myself to fall into that trap of thinking them as some sort of holy checklist. You understand what I mean by that? Some sort of holy checklist. Obey these and go to heaven. Because that's why we have them, right? That's the whole point to the ten. That's why God did it, was because it's his holy checklist. If we just make sure we follow these rules step by step, regardless of how we want to number them, just go down the checklist and you get to go to heaven. Our relationship with God is not about bribing God with our good behavior. Look at me, God, look, I followed your rules. We don't need to. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't need to follow the rules. I'm saying we don't need to bribe God. The point of the law is not about establishing a relationship with God. The point of the law is about deepening a relationship with God. The relationship is already there. not trying to kick it off. It's not trying to jumpstart it. It's not trying to find a way to make it happen at all. It's about taking what is already there and making it deeper. Maybe it's not so much about accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior as, I just had it. It was profound in my own mind. Bless you again. Embracing. No. Deepening. Whatever. It was good, people. That little part of my brain that got to hear that part of the message was impressed. It's okay. And much of deepening our relationship with God is about deepening our relationship with our neighbor. So I asked you, number 3 and 7 and 4 and 6 and 2 and 1 and 10 and whatever for the 10, maybe you can't recite them verbatim. But I'm willing to bet you know bits. I'm willing to bet that there are pieces of them that are ingrained in your head. And I'm willing to bet that if you stop and think about it for a bit, you will realize just how many of them deal with our neighbor, deal with the people around us, deal with the people in our lives. Honor your father and your mother. That's about relationship with other people. We don't think of our parents as our neighbors, but it is about connection to other people. Don't murder. That's actually a great way to get along with people, by the way. Just going to obey one, that's probably a good starting point, at least in terms of your human relationships is concerned. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. What was the reading that Eliah did at the start of worship? It was from Matthew. It was the great commandment from Jesus. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love neighbor. There's a reason why Jesus puts those together. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that the 10 talk so much about neighbors, about our relationship with each other. I have never seen God. I have never had God appear before me in a nimbus of light. That would be awesome, by the way. Probably frightening. Definitely memorable. I've never had that happen. But I can see my neighbor. I can see God in the creation around me, the creation that God has made, the creation that God tells us is very good. I can't hug God. I can hug my neighbor. I got to do that earlier today. It was wonderful. It was good to see everybody. If we read a little bit further in the reading today, this is something we'll talk about more next week as well, but if we read just a couple more verses, we are told, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is the earth beneath, so that is, or that it is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Idols, idolatry. Somewhat of a tangent. It's one of the reasons I've always hated the title of American Idol. I hate the title of that show so much. Absolutely detest it. I'm not criticizing the show, Sarah. There you go, okay. But the title is awful. It's just blatantly right there. Idolatry. What is our biggest idol as human beings? What do you think is our biggest idol? Money? Anyone else?
Ourselves.
Ourselves? I'll offer you one that popped into my head this past week. I think one of our biggest idols is fear. Think about that for a moment. Fear. What is an idol? It's something that gets in the way of our relationship with God. It's something that distracts us from our relationship with God, something that assumes the place in our lives that God is supposed to occupy. Fear. Fear is a powerful idol. Fear of change. Fear of failure. Fear of anything that is different. Fear of the stranger. Fear of embarrassment. Fear of loss. Fear of death. Sometimes fear of life. We may not build a temple to fear. We may not bow down before it literally and worship fear. We may not put on a TV show and call it American Fear. But fear often rules us. We often let fear rule and control us as an idol, a powerful idol, something that gets dramatically in the way of our relationship with God. To tie it back into our relationship with our neighbor, many of our fears are about our neighbor. Fears for our safety. Fears for our self-image. Fears for our values. Fear of the things that we think matter most, that we think matter most. We fear what younger generations will do when they're in charge. You ever seen that awful, awful, awful t-shirt? It says, be nice to your children, they're the ones that will pick your nursing home. It's awful. It's kind of funny, but it's awful. But what's the heart of that? Fear. We fear new arrivals in our community. Changes to our community. I'm on the email lists for both the 185th and the 145th Street Station email lists for the light rail. And I was telling Judy this past week, I had the most, I don't even know what word I want to use for it, discouraging set of emails that I got from the 145th group, because there was so much fear. And so much of the fear was about, we don't want new people to come in. We don't want anything to change. If new people come to Shoreline, they will change it, and it won't be what it is for us now. We need to protect ourselves from them. There was so much fear in this. I've never blocked email before, but I did. I'm like, I don't want to get anything else from these people. We fear how the stranger might threaten us. Might threaten our safety, our physical safety, our financial security. The house that Sarah and I bought last year. Sarah, have I told you I want to do another open house this summer? No, I haven't. I'm telling you now. Love you. Thank you. You're so understanding and forgiving. She can totally see me during these. I don't know if you know that. She sits in the back in the family room area, and so we're looking right at each other. Anywho, we bought that house. One of the first things I noticed the first time we looked in it was that all the windows downstairs were barred. And it had this major security system. And the back sliding glass door has one of those metal pull door things. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if Sarah and I ever want to convert our house into a place to sell liquor and guns, we were set. You know, and it was this big steel, like, put the big padlock on it. And the first time we walked through the house, I was like, what has happened here? So I called the police. Not to, like, you know, snitch or anything. I'm like, is something gone on here? And so they went back through their records, like, the last 10, 15 years. You know what they found? Mail had been pilfered in 2011. And they didn't even have a locked mailbox. I'm like, wait a minute. The only problem you've had was pilfering mail, and that's the one thing you didn't secure. Okay. It was about fear. It's about fear. We have so much fear in our lives. We preach fear to each other. Watch the news sometimes, or don't. There's fear left and right. 24/7, literally now, 24/7. And many of us readily listen to it. But I've told you this before. What is it that the angels of God are always saying when they show up? What are they always saying before they say anything else to the people? Fear not. Be not afraid. I don't think it's just they're showing up and they're so tremendously impressive. Don't get me wrong, they would be. But I don't think it's just about the fear of that person in that moment. Calm down, I'm going to tell you something good. I don't think that's just the only thing they're saying. I think they're also saying something very simple and very profound. Stop being so scared. Fear not, be not afraid. God is not a God of fear. God says, do not bow down to any idol. And dare I add, especially fear. The 10 sayings, the 10 words, the 10 commandments are words of promise. Words intended to draw us closer to God and to each other. And to help us to seek purpose and direction in those relationships. The time we spend this month exploring the 10 is not about learning God's checklist so that we get to go to heaven when we die. It's about acting on God's promise for us while we live. Let us pray. Gracious, good, and loving God, we thank you for the gift of life, the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless us this day and always, to help us to be mindful to put you first and foremost in our lives, to help us to remember that fear is not of you, but that love and life and peace and strength and joy are of you. We ask you to guide us, to be with us, to help us as we walk through our days. We pray all of this, trusting in your most holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.